but they were not willing to engage in warfare for the benefit of an ambitious emperor, who aspired to glory by way of a foreign campaign in the land of the Parthians, or the Numidians, or the Scots. And so conditions grew worse as the centuries went by. The first emperors had continued the tradition of leadership, which had given the old tribal chieftains such a hold upon their subjects. But the emperors of the second and third centuries were barrack emperors, professional soldiers, who existed by the grace of their bodyguards, the so-called praetorians. They succeeded each other with terrifying rapidity, murdering their way into the palace, and being murdered out of it as soon as their successors had become rich enough to bribe the guards into a new rebellion. Meanwhile, the barbarians were hammering at the gates of the northern frontier. As there were no longer any native Roman armies to stop their progress, foreign mercenaries had to be hired to fight the invader. As the foreign soldiers happened to be of the same blood as his supposed enemy, he was apt to be quite lenient when he engaged in battle. Finally, by way of experiment, a few tribes were allowed to settle within the confines of the empire. Others followed. Soon these tribes complained bitterly of the greedy Roman tax-gatherers, who took away their last penny. When they got no redress, they marched to Rome and loudly demanded that they be heard.